T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Aditi! How are you, Aditi?
Who's very much
good
alive.
Morning.
Hello.
I have to tell you, I was on Ken's radio show Saturday, and it was unbelievably civil. There was no picking at each other.
What fun is that?
No fighting. And I said, what is this about? And he said, it's because the Lima is the match that lights the fire.
No, I disagree. I think Kenny has been ruffling your feathers, and he'll continue to do so as he picked the Kansas City Chiefs number one in our vaunted seven in heaven.
I don't know that that's that. I mean, remember, no matter what your listeners think, I'm not a Steelers fan. I simply cover them, just as I cover the Browns, and I cover the Ravens, and I cover a whole host of teams. Eric Ebron, the Steelers tight end, actually made the same point yesterday. He said he was watching the Chiefs, and the Chiefs score on basically every single possession, and the Steelers can't do that. And he said, until the Steelers can do that, that's a significant cause for concern.
Wow, is that a shot at Big Ben?
I mean, right now, the record, and I hate to sort of quote one of Mike Tomlin's pithy little phrases, but he has now twice said the only thing perfect about the Steelers is their record. And that's true. There are a lot of flaws in this team. There haven't been that many games where you sit here and you say, wow, that was a totally complete, dominating, all phases effort. That doesn't discount the fact that you're able to win every single week, which of course is significant, but it's not as if I sit here and I say, wow, nobody can beat the Steelers. The Ravens losing three players, three very key significant players Thursday, doesn't help matters. But would anybody be really that surprised if the Ravens were to knock off the Steelers on Thursday?
I'd be a little bit surprised. I think the Ravens are in a bad spot. I think I said a little bit surprised to go, oh, wow, would you look at that? Because I think they're in a really bad place right now.
But they are, and I don't disagree with you at all. And I think the thing that's most alarming about the Ravens right now is that they're physically getting pushed around. And I can't remember. I was, in fact, talking to a former Steeler who played for the Steelers for at least a decade just about that yesterday. And I said, I can't remember the last time that I saw a Ravens team physically beat up 2 weeks in a row. And he wrote me back, never. That in 10 years, he doesn't ever remember that.
Well, and they are getting chippy before the games, after the games.
Something is kind of missing, and I think that this is one of those things that, you know, like a coach like Mike Tomlin hates this idea, this storyline. But I will say that I think this year, chemistry matters so much in so many different ways, and it's a conversation I had with J.C. Tretter last week, and he was giving Kevin Stefanski so much credit. And this staff so much credit for creating this sense of team with the Browns, despite the fact that there were no OTAs and no workouts in the spring and nothing, barely any togetherness all summer. And, you know, he was talking about the 4-H's and the things that they would do on the Zooms. And what JC said is, it's just a given fact that you are going to play better when you feel like you're playing for the guy next to you, as opposed to you're just playing for a paycheck or you're playing for a coach. And so it's very difficult in this environment to create that sense of, okay, we're in this together. Okay, we're a team. Okay, we, you know, all know each other. And I can't, with the Eagles last week before the Eagles-Browns game, Javon Hargrave was on a Zoom, and he was teasingly asked if he even knows all his teammates because he's a first-year player with the Eagles. And I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus, but he was kind of like playing along with that and joking a little bit that, yeah, it's really hard to get to know guys in a year like this. But then you have the Browns talking about how they feel really this, you know, that Kevin Stefanski has somehow, despite all odds, created this sense of family. Yesterday, Chase Claypool, who's a rookie, who has never really gotten to sit in the cafeteria for a long time or shoot baskets in a garbage can in the locker room or just, you know, debate God knows what walking out of the shower, which is what generally happens. And he said, well, it still somehow feels like a brotherhood. That when he came into the league, he was told that the NFL is cutthroat and really competitive, but he wouldn't say that about the Steelers, and that he really loves playing with these Steelers. So I think it's a very long way of me saying this, but I think the teams that have figured out how to create this unbelievable chemistry, this sense of togetherness, despite what's going on, that's a plus. And I would always argue that John Harbaugh teams have that and that Ravens teams have that. It just feels a little weird right now when you see Lamar Jackson saying, well, they wanted it more than we did. And you see guys being pushed around. Again, like I cannot remember the last time I saw a Ravens team pushed around. And to see it 2 weeks in a row, that just feels really weird.
Yeah, it's pretty bad stuff there. Dede Kinkabwala joining us, NFL Network. By the way, speaking of that Saturday interview, we were talking about Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't want to get off on a tangent about the Steelers. I'm going to ask you about the Browns here in a second. We were talking about Ben Roethlisberger. You had made a mention about being 22 years old. We were talking about the quarterback. We were not talking about any of the other transgressions that have been accused of Ben Roethlisberger, and some people did not get the difference on that. So I wanted to make that clear here on the radio because I know that some people on Twitter had some problems with that. But I thought it was, again, misconstrued. Dede, when we look at our quarterback in Baker Mayfield, it's weird. The Browns are 7-3. I think they're playing really well in some phases. Defensively, they've come on so strong, even over the last, you know, some people even look at Las Vegas and go, well, the game against Las Vegas, they held them to only 16 points here. They're starting to really come together in a lot of ways, but people are still asking more of Baker Mayfield. What more do I need to see during the 2020 season? Because I still think this is a weird development year for him where honestly, Kevin Stefanski has to do two things at once. He has to win because that's your job, but you also have to see what you have in this quarterback and develop this guy.
And this is the part that is so ludicrous to me, and I know I went on this tangent last week with you guys, but, I mean, do people really believe that after all of these years of losing, after all of these quarterbacks, that you bring in a quarterback, you give him whatever, four head coaches and three different offenses or four different offenses, and just overnight he's supposed to wake up and suddenly be Tom Brady? I mean, maybe not the Tom Brady of last night, but the Tom Brady of 5 years ago? I mean, you expect him to just suddenly wake up and, you know, remember, people were ready to write off Jared Goff.
They were.
People thought that Jared Goff was a bust. Remember that? If we're going to talk about last night's game? And that was my point when I appreciate your bringing that up again about Ben Roethlisberger. The statement that you had made on the radio Saturday is that Roethlisberger is everything you want a franchise quarterback to be. And my response was, well, he wasn't initially. He had to grow into that. That everybody has to grow up a little bit. And so I would say the same thing about Baker. Now, remember, a year ago, we felt like, my gosh, why is he engaging with all these media types? Why is he fighting with everybody? Why does he even care? Like, focus at the task at hand. Have we said that once this year? We have not.
Is that just the difference between winning and losing? Because they started out 2-6 last year. And this year, obviously, totally different story, 7-3. Like, what is the symptom of the other thing?
They were completely beat up by the Ravens week one. I mean, that was an absolute – and there are reasons for that. It's not excuses. But certainly there are reasons, and we've talked about that. They were completely destroyed by the Steelers when they walked in there at 4-1 with all that confidence. And yet he has not responded in that same way. Mm-hmm. He has not engaged. Again, sign of growth. But it takes time to grow. My kid didn't come out of the womb walking.
Did come out of the womb as a Cleveland Browns fan.
You didn't run, you know? Like, you've got to – there's a piece here where, yes, you're right, that defense played tremendously on Sunday. And I, in fact, made that point. That was my first question to Olivier Vernon post-game. I said, so what happened to this idea that you guys were supposed to miss Myles Garrett? I mean, we spent all of pregame talking about, well, how are the Browns going to create a pass rush? And basically half of their sack total comes from Myles Garrett, and the other half of the sacks come because Myles Garrett is engaging other people. And, oh, my goodness, Myles Garrett is this whole defense. And then look at how well that defense played. How many turnovers they forced? Vernon himself, three sacks and a safety?
So
the defense is coming around. These are all time things. This is what we talked about a week ago when – Kevin Stefanski made the point of saying that Baker Mayfield is right now learning off of reps that he should have been learning off of back in the spring. I mean, there's a ton of cumulative reps that he has not had with his teammates in this offense in front of his coaches. So that, of course, there's a little delay to that. And again, and this goes back to that Ben Roethlisberger MVP argument that people keep seeming to have right now. And why do people keep ranking him as the, whatever, 22nd best quarterback? What do you really want out of your quarterback? Do you want 350 passing yards and 3 touchdowns every week? Or do you want wins?
You know what it is? I think they all, everybody wants their quarterback to be Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. That's really what it is.
I mean, fine, but what if he's Philip Rivers all those years in San Diego, putting up these amazing numbers but not necessarily winning?
It's a good question.
I mean, you're winning. He's playing within the confines of the team right now. He's getting the team. He deserves a lot of credit. Baker deserves a lot of credit for getting the team in and out of the right run. I mean, did you see the way that he was dancing? I think it was the Nick Chubb run. There were 2 runs.
Which of the dances? I saw 5 dances last week.
Yeah, like it was just hysterical. I mean, he was deliriously happy. Okay, well, he gets credit for making sure that the Browns get in the right run, that he calls the right protection, that he sets up.
But you know that's
right going
to sound, Aditi, that's going to sound to some people that are definite Baker critics, like, really, that's the bar that you get your team into the, like, we know past quarterbacks have not with the Browns, but as far as, like, does Joe Burrow have a problem doing that? I just don't think that's going to excite anybody.
Okay, your problem is here not your problem,
that might be mine.
The Browns fan problem is if you come multiple weeks in a row where you need to win the game on Baker Mayfield's arm and he loses the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't happened yet, so can we have a little patience now? Am I ready to sit here and anoint him the franchise quarterback that this city so desperately deserves? I don't know that yet. I really don't. I mean, and Ken has bothered me so much about this week in, week out, whatever. So, Ken, here you go.
What?
I do feel very, very strongly about Joe Burrow. I do think Joe Burrow is going to be the guy that carries Cincinnati for a long time.
Booger McFarland says he should sit next year.
To see what happened to him Sunday.
Tell her this. Tell her that.
Yeah, Booger McFarland, hot off the presses last night on the pregame show for Monday Night Football. He said that the Cincinnati Bengals should sit Joe Burrow all of next year.
Why?
You're allowed to laugh.
Texans said Deshaun Watson.
You're allowed to laugh. And the words of Owen, the guy sat in a deer blind for a year during Monday Night Football, so you can always make jokes. It's okay.
I mean, Lima, did Ken tell you that he brought this up on his show Saturday?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't listen. I'm outraged about my handling on CBS Sports Radio.
No, but I mean, let's bring it back to what we're talking about. Baker Mayfield.
Lima's like an old Browns quarterback.
Okay, and let's not write him off yet. Let's not sit here and say that he is definitely not going to be the guy that can lead the Cleveland Browns to the promised land. Because thus far, he's doing what is being asked of him. He is not being asked to put this entire team on his shoulders and win by himself. He's being asked to win within the parameters of what this offense is trying to do. He's being asked not to make mistakes. He's being asked not to be a distraction. He's doing what is asked of him.
Okay, Aditi, can we change now, transition through this year, and start to think about different expectations? Because the Browns are going to the playoffs. It would be they'd have to, just everything, bottom would have to fall off of them not to. So as fans, is it enough now just to win, or do we have to start to think, who could we beat in the playoffs?
I think you absolutely can. And, you know, it's interesting because just yesterday I was listening to a few people talk about when looking at the rest of the Steelers' schedule, what are sort of potential pitfalls or where you could easily see them losing. And 3 different people said the Browns game at the end of the season.
Ah.
You know, this is such a funny season. It really is. And it's hard to see complete and total dominance. And I do think that it really is I hate to use the cliche, but it really is one of those any given Sundays. And I do think that if the Browns bring their A game, then they can beat just about anybody who's not necessarily playing, you know, like 10 out of 10 times. Do I think the Browns beat the Chiefs? No, but I think 1 out of 10.
Whoa.
Maybe even 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Woo.
You know, like, I just think that nobody right now is playing. Now, again, we've still got a lot of season left, so this is a nice time to see a run start being put together. Somebody or some teams starting to really put all the pieces together and really kind of start the march into the postseason. So this is what we may see now. But as of this moment, nobody is really playing in a way that you're saying, oh, my God, they're totally unbeatable.
But what
right?
about
I
when
mean,
you
said... Tell me, do you see somebody that you're just like, that team is unbeatable, nobody is ever beating them?
No. What about when you said that you'd rather have... What about when you said you'd rather have Joe Burrow on one leg than Baker Mayfield?
I didn't say that. Let's not put words in somebody's mouth.
I'm going to go ahead and put words there. I think you'd rather have... I think you'd rather have Joe Burrow as Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump than Baker Mayfield.
Not... I never said that, Lima. You
Lima,
never heard that, did you?
Accuser hey, of doing it.
No, I don't need to.
Like, this is what's so crazy. He's the one that throws Lima under the bus. Is Lima creating the friction? But, I mean, it's not like Lima's making up things that I never said.
That's what I think you implied. That's what I inferred.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to be like, okay, calm down. Let's step off the ledge a little bit. Let's enjoy the journey. Ken, when was the last time that you could enjoy 7-3?
I'm enjoying it right now. What the hell are you talking about?
Doesn't sound like it.
I'm having a hell of a time. We're 7-3. We got to go.
All right, my friends. Have fun. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. You too. Diddy Kinkabwala on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.